So I feel like God wants to speak to us about following him this morning, following Jesus. Jesus said when he called his first disciples, come, follow me. I feel like he wants to say that to each one of us this morning. Come, follow me. It's not easy being a Christian, isn't it? Is it? Sorry. If you've been a Christian for longer than 5 minutes, I think you'll probably realise it's not easy. Been hearing about it all this morning, haven't we? About breaking through to Jesus. If we can just do that, everything will go well, won't it? Well, no, it's not the truth. It's meant to be hard following Jesus. But we must do it, brothers and sisters. I want to read to you today from Matthew's Gospel. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21-29. You know, about a month ago I was out doing a little bit of a jog, a little bit of a run, and I was running past these lampposts along this cycle track up between Acklam and Martin. And I was amazed at how many lampposts there are on this cycle track, lamppost after lamppost. And as I ran past each lamppost, I was imagining them turning on. The lampposts turning on as I ran past them. And I thought of that scripture about Jesus. You know, we sang about it this morning. Jesus is the light of the world. But also, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. To me and you. You and I are the light of the world. Do you feel like the light of the world this morning? I tell you, Jesus wants you and I to be the light of the world. I believe that was a prophetic picture from God. Running past these lampposts and each one turning on. Wouldn't it be great if hundreds and hundreds of people in Teesside this September came to faith in Jesus? Do you want that? Do you really want that? Okay, let's go for it. So what I want to read to you today is from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 7. Start with verse 21-29. This is Jesus speaking. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is summing up for the people who are listening. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. Wow. Jesus is pretty hardcore here, isn't he? Pretty hard going. Sounds like if we don't do the will of God with our lives, things are not going to go well for us. Things are not going to go well. You know, a few weeks ago, actually nearly 3 months ago now, we had our fourth child, little Gabriel.
Yeah.
Little Gabriel was born on my birthday. All right, again, Tabitha was born on my birthday. I never get my birthday back now. It's gone forever. But it meant that I had paternity leave from work unexpectedly. And it was just before Easter. So I had these 2 weeks off. And then I went back to work for a week. And then I had another 3 weeks off for Easter. My job's awesome, isn't it? But it meant I got to spend loads of time with our kids. Some of that time, Stacey was at the hospital with Gabriel because he was 5 weeks premature. And some of the time I had to look after these kids, you know, on my own. It is very scary when you've got a fair few kids. And when she'd go out of hospital, she went out sometimes to go shopping or to go meet people sometimes. And she, one time, I remember, she left all four kids with me. All right. For about 10 minutes. And it seemed like a whole day, you know. It seemed like forever she'd left her with these kids. Should we give mums a round of applause for what they're doing? That's amazing. Thank you, mum, for all that you do. And she left me with these kids, right? And what I didn't realise was that sometimes when you have lots of kids, they all cry at the same time. So our garden was open, it was a nice day. Nathaniel was outside playing on the slide. Tabitha was in the front room doing whatever she does, running around, screaming usually. And Gabriel was just stirring a bit. He was in his little chair, just stirring a little bit, starting to wake up. And Georgia was upstairs. And I kid you not, at the same point, okay, Nathaniel fell off the slide. Tabitha wet herself. All right. Gabriel started to cry because he was hungry. And Georgia was shouting, "Daddy, Daddy." I mean, what do you do? What did I do? I just stood there and prayed and hoped for the best. It was really difficult. Anyway, what am I trying to say to you? Oh, yeah. But during that time when I was with these kids, it was wonderful to see particularly Tabitha and Georgia, because Georgia's 8 and Tabitha's 3. And Tabitha wants so much to be like Georgia. She really wants to be like Georgia. She follows every single thing that Georgia does. So Georgia often runs up to me and gives me, like, ultimatums, like, "Daddy, would you like to die by chocolate raining down from heaven? Or would you like to die from a big wave of chocolate that comes and takes you away? Which would you prefer, Daddy?" But then the funny thing is, Tabitha runs up to me and she tries to say the same thing. "Daddy, chocolate." But she can't do it. She can't copy Georgia completely. But she tries to do it. She tries to follow what her big sister does. Jesus is like our big brother, isn't he? God wants us to follow Jesus. Been speaking about it all morning. To follow Jesus. See, Tabitha's heart is to be like her sister. That's her heart. Maybe she doesn't make it sometimes. Maybe she makes mistakes. But her heart is to follow her. Is your heart, your attitude, to follow Jesus this morning, whatever it costs, whatever it means? The cost of being a disciple of Jesus is real, isn't it? It's real. You know, I've been reading about Smith Wigglesworth recently. Has anyone read about Smith Wigglesworth? Pretty amazing guy, isn't he? Pretty scary guy. Pretty whack guy. Amazing gift of healing. Amazing evangelist. Amazing power and authority from God. He's had no education. He learned to read in his 20s. And his wife, Polly, taught him to read. And he began to preach and he couldn't preach. He had no power. He couldn't even speak properly. But then the power of God came upon him one day and he became an international evangelist who could draw hundreds of people and could see, seriously, every single person healed in the meeting who needed it. That sounds like a powerful God, a man of God to me. One of the things that he said, though, he was once in a university and he was questioned by all these intelligent academic students and they were asking him questions that were really difficult theologically. And every time he would just respond and just put their questions to bed, really. And one student asked him, he said, "Can a person who's saved and then falls away and no longer following Jesus, can they still be saved in the end?" It's an interesting question, isn't it? And Wigglesworth said, interesting. He said this, "I do not take it for granted that because a person says he's been saved, that he is saved. He's only proving to me that he's saved if he follows." This is what Jesus is saying here, isn't it? If we follow Jesus, then will we know that we're really saved? Our salvation isn't dependent on our works and the things we do, you know that, right? But God gave us this gift of salvation in order to do things for him. So we receive salvation for free. It's a free gift from God. Thank you. But then he does have work for us to do. Are you willing to do that work and follow Jesus today? Let's read to you something that is quite hard for many people in James. If you have a look at James in your Bible, let's just go to there quickly. This is Jesus' brother James. Many people struggle with this chapter for a number of reasons. Martin Luther struggled with this because it's not really full of grace. It's all about works, actually, this chapter. But nevertheless, for some reason, the Holy Spirit has put it in the Bible. So do you think we need to read it and be obedient to it? I do. This is what James says. So James 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. Wow. Do you want to be blessed today? Should we be a people who are blessed by God to do good works for him? You know, Jesus talks about hearing and then putting into practice. First we need to hear, and then we need to put into practice. But it's all about our hearts, this. You understand? A lot of the things that Jesus says, a lot of the Sermon on the Mount, it's impossible for us to achieve, actually. But God is interested in our heart. Our heart is what's important to God. Remember in the Bible when Samuel was told by God to go and anoint the next king of Israel, told to go to Jesse, and it was going to be one of Jesse's sons. And Samuel went there and he saw one of Jesse's sons, Eliab, and he said, surely this is the one, Lord. He's tall, he's handsome, like me. And surely this is the one you want me to anoint to be the next king of Israel. And God spoke to him in that moment. And he said, the Lord doesn't look at the outward appearance, but at the heart. I wonder what's the condition of your heart this morning. Is your heart to follow Jesus? Or isn't it? I believe God wants to perform some open heart surgery here this morning. And fill us with a desire, a new desire, to follow Jesus. Not just be hearers of the word, but be the people who put it into practice. We're going to need to when this revival comes. This revival that's going to come to this nation is going to spread across Europe to the ends of the earth. Oh, we need to be following Jesus for that. We need to be trusting wholly and entirely in Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus. I want to give you the opportunity to start now. To start and do that now. Jesus often blasted the Pharisees for their hearts not being right. It's easy to be religious, isn't it? Easy to be religious and just say, oh no, I read the Bible, I tithe, I fast, I pray. But what about our hearts? Where are our hearts? Jesus said of the Pharisees, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Where is your heart? Where's my heart? I'm speaking to you and me. You know, when we stand up here and we preach, we're preaching to ourselves as well. You know that, don't you? I'm not standing here as someone who's perfect. My heart needs to be right before God. Heal our hearts, Lord, and fill them with you. We pray. It's not about our performance, but our attitude. Jesus said of this, in this parable that he says about the man who built his house on the rock. He says that the man who built his house on the rock, that house didn't fall Okay? It didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus is the rock, isn't he? Jesus is our foundation. I'm telling you things that you already know because it's the truth. If we don't have that belt of truth buckled around our waist all the time and be willing to focus on that, then where are we with Jesus? Jesus is the rock and nothing else. I wonder if you've been building your house, your life, on other things. Maybe you're a Christian here today and you've been going away from God. Maybe you've been doing your own thing, following your own plan for your life, and saying, all right, God, I'll do that in a minute, but let me just follow my own plan. I tried to do that. I tried to escape from Teesside, and God brought me back, made me a Christian, and showed me the life that he wanted me to lead. I wonder if you're being taken out of being a Christian today, actually following Jesus. I wonder if you need to come back and repent. I believe there's an opportunity for you here this morning to come back and get in line with what God wants for your life. Get in line with God. Be used to do awesome things. You know, when I became a Christian, it was around about the same time as I started running, okay? I started distance running, joined a club and I competed in races. And I did this for a fair few years. And as a Christian, you know, it was difficult to balance going to church and being a Christian and also upholding this running career. And one day God spoke to me and he said, stop doing that. Stop your obsession with running and turn back to me. I'd been asking God, ironically, when I'd been going out running, what do you want me to do for you, Lord? What do you want me to do? Is there something you want me to do? Show me what it is. And he remained silent. Until this one point. You know, at one point I was sitting in our house in Gisborough at the time, and Stacey and the kids were out, and I was sat reading Reinhard Bonnke's autobiography. Have you ever read it?
Yeah. Called
Living a Life of Fire. It's a massive book. Bigger than the Bible. Enormous book. It's a wonderful book because it tells in detail the intricate details of how Reinhard Bonnke's ministry started, what drew him to Africa, how he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was 10 years old, and it took him to Africa eventually. And now you know, you've heard of Reinhard Bonnke. He's been personally responsible for the salvation of about 100 million Africans. An awesome man of God. But Reinhard Bonnke had to be obedient to God and listen to what he wanted for him. And I was reading this and hearing this, and I just sat up and I sat in my front room and I asked again, God, what do you want me to do for you? And in that moment, God spoke to me. I get emotional about this because he's never spoken to me like this before, or since actually. I heard an audible voice of God, I kid you not. The only time I've ever heard this. And it said this. God said to me, you must preach the gospel for me, Tom. You must preach the gospel for me, Tom. It was so audible that I got up and I walked around and I shouted, Stacey! She wasn't there, she'd gone out. It was so clear to me. And you know when it's God, don't you? Because you can't stop repeating it in your head. You must preach the gospel for me. You must preach. It was just an amazing revelation from God. As a result of that, I stopped this obsession with running and I gave it up to God. And 4 years later, God gave it back to me to use this running as a tool to win people for Jesus. I started to go into the university, and we ran Alpha courses at the university. I started to be involved in running our Alpha courses here. Preaching the gospel at one point, we preached the gospel outside, in the middle of the university, in the campus hall, as hundreds of students walked past in Freshers Week. If I hadn't given this thing up, though, for God, never got the opportunity to do this. What does God want you to give up? What does God want you to do for him? God wants us to put his words into practice. How do we do it? Well, it's about the word of God, about understanding the word of God. You know, I was in our kitchen with our 8-year-old Georgia the other day, and she's so random. She wanted us to talk about food names that get given to people. For some reason. Alright. Let's talk about food names that are given to people. I said, alright. Who then? Who do you want to tell me about? She said, well, ham's a funny one, isn't it? And I said, ham? She said, yeah. I said, who's called ham? She said, oh, one of Noah's sons was called ham. And I said, how do you know that, Georgia? And she said, ah, I read it in the Bible. The word of God is very important for us. If we want our foundation to be on the rock, that rock is the word of God. If we want to learn about Jesus, learn what he says, learn what he wants for our lives, we must read his word that's in the Bible. I want to encourage you to read your Bibles. You know, I used to run marathons, and I couldn't run a marathon now. I can barely run a 5K race now. But I used to run marathons quite regularly. And the reason I could run marathons is because every day I was training, regularly training. If we want to do the things that God has called us to do and go the distance for God, we've got to be regularly training, haven't we? Regularly reading our Bibles, regularly praying and asking God to show us. The word of God is this rock. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, phenomenal man of God, the only book he ever learned to read was the Bible. He learned to read it in his 20s. I think he was 26 when he learned to read it. His wife taught him to read it, as I told you. It's the only book he ever, ever read. Didn't read any other book. A friend of his said that he wouldn't go 15 minutes without reading his Bible. He always carried a New Testament with him. And he couldn't go 15 minutes without reading it, because he was so focused upon what God wanted for his life. He was so focused upon that. Let me read you something quickly, because this impacted me, and I hope it'll impact you. Smith Wigglesworth said, "All lack of faith is due to not feeding on God's word." Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? All lack of faith is due to not feeding on God's word. You need it every day, he says. Feed on the living Christ of whom this word is full, and you get taken up with the glorious fact that the wondrous presence of the living Christ, the faith of God, will spring up within you. If I'm going to know God, I'm going to know him by his word. I know I shall be in heaven, but I could not build on my feelings that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because God's word says it. And I believe God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Smith Wigglesworth only read this book. Only read the Bible. What a challenging life. What a challenge that is to us. Do you read your Bible every day? Do you have a desire to read it? Not because of religion or because you have to, but just because you want to follow Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, do you? I think that Jesus is the answer to all of the world's problems, do you? I believe that Jesus is going to return one day, and Jesus is going to judge the world for their sins. And those who have put their faith in him will be the ones he takes to heaven. But those who haven't will not go to heaven, but will go to that other place where Jesus said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place called hell. I don't know about you, but I want to take as many people with me to heaven as possible. I believe God wants to stir up a fire in us today, to prepare us for revival, to be willing to follow Jesus, whatever it takes. As Andy and Stephen shared there, whatever it takes, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to give up everything to follow Jesus? What a challenge that is. You know, a lot of this is about doing, actually. Doing. Our doing is motivated by love. You know, Jesus came and died for us on the cross. Not because he had to, but because he chose to. Out of love. The love of God to send Jesus to die for us is something supernatural. You know, once someone came up to Jesus and they said, "So what's the greatest commandment, Jesus?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Wow. If you want to know what motivates you to follow Jesus, what should motivate you, it's love, actually. Love. It's not money that makes the world go round. No, it's actually God's love. If we want to be disciples of Jesus, we need to ask God to fill us with this love. You and I can't generate love on our own. We need it from God. We need to get a revelation of it from God. A love for God and a love for other people. That should be what motivates us to follow Jesus and do things for Jesus. I'm captivated when I read stories of Christian missionaries, Christian men and women of God, who have devoted their lives for other people. Out of love for God, they've gone to some distant land, like Ruth and Andrew have done, and decided to devote their lives to God and to other people. To give their whole lives to that. It's an amazing sacrifice, isn't it? You know, last week Martin spoke about the Welsh missionary Robert Thomas. You know, the Welsh missionary went to China first and then to Korea. And as he went to Korea, he was on this boat and he came off this boat, tried to give them these Bible tracts, and he was beheaded because the Bible wasn't allowed in their country. But as a result of that, you heard last week, someone picked up these Bible tracts and wallpapered their house. That person was the governor of the region, you know. That's why his house was so influential. That's why so many people went to his house and read this Bible on the wall and were saved as they read it. But you know, Robert Thomas sacrificed everything. Him and his wife, Caroline, they got married in England just at the end of Robert's studies. He was studying to be a missionary at a university. And just at the end of his studies, they got married. And they knew that God was calling them to China. They knew it. They're only 25 years old. But they knew that was God's call in their life. Robert Thomas and his wife Caroline decided to get married and then that their honeymoon would be to travel for 4 months on a ship to go to China. Can you imagine that? Those of you who get married soon, can you imagine that? Robin and Lucy. Imagine saying, "Okay, we're going to give our lives completely to you, Lord, and we're going to take a 4-month journey to China to tell people about Jesus." Phenomenal. You know, in China, Robert Thomas's wife, Caroline, died of a miscarriage. She lost too much blood and died. Robert wasn't there. He was out, away, at another part of China, doing something else for God. His wife died. Amazing sacrifice she made so that he could go and do this amazing thing for God and take the gospel to Korea. I wonder what God's calling you to do today. Maybe it's not as dramatic as that. Maybe it's something much smaller. But if it's for God, it's so worth doing. You know, we're not saved by our good deeds. But we're saved for good deeds. Not saved by the things we do. You might think, oh, if I do lots of things, lots of good deeds, I'm going to be saved. No, that's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus teaches. It's not actually about the things you do that are going to save you. But salvation motivates us for good deeds. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul says quite clearly. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast. We're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared in advance for you and I to do good works. Do you want to do those works? Do you want to follow Jesus and do what God has called us to do? Shall we stand? I believe God is going to speak to us right now. You know, maybe you've never lined your life up with God before. Maybe you're in here for the first time, or you're very new to all this, and you don't know that Jesus died for you on the cross. I want to tell you that that's the truth. That's the only truth. It's the only thing worth putting your faith in, is that Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for your sins and mine so that we could go to heaven. That's called grace, an amazing gift. But it's also called you, and I believe every person in here, including me, we're called by God to make a difference to this world, to change this world for the better. If you want to come to faith in Jesus this morning, the first time, I just want to encourage you, if that's you, while everyone's standing, come to the front. Come to the front, come forward. I did this with Stacey 9 years ago. Decided, yeah, I want to line my life up with Jesus. If that's you, I want to encourage you to come forward right now. Maybe though, you've already done this once, or twice, or three times. I want to encourage you, if you have already made a commitment to Jesus, to follow him, but you feel like you've gone away, feel like you've gone to the right or to the left with your life, and you're no longer following his perfect plan for your life, if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to come forward as well. Do you have some music on, guys? Some ministry music. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you gave everything. You gave it all up for us so that we can know heaven. We can know you, Jesus, and follow your awesome plan for our lives. We just want to thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to follow you, to be your disciples. And I pray, Lord God, that all things that are hindering us and pulling us from right to left would fall away now. I believe that people are going to be healed right now. If you need healing right now in your body, why don't you put your hand on the place where it is? In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. If you need financial provision in your life, why don't you put your hand in the air and ask God for it right now? Dear Lord Jesus, please give me financial provision. Believe that you've received it. Believe that you've been healed right now. And most importantly, if you need salvation, if you need to know this Jesus, just say, sorry, Lord, for my sins. Sorry for building my house on the sand. I want to come back to you now because you created me. Come back to you and build my house upon you. Build my life upon you. I repent of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Please come into my life so I can follow you and do the good works that you've prepared in advance for me to do. Thank you, Lord.